The message you're about to hear has been made possible by the continued financial support of the friends and partners of Faith Hill. To find out more about how to become a partner, be sure to visit faithhill.tv.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith Hill, that's who we are.
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, church. And what an awesome, awesome day it is. Amen. We're gonna continue with our current series, Grace for the End Times. Amen. Grace for the End Times. As we do that, why don't you hold your Bible, your cell phone, whatever you're going to be reading from, iPads, Samsungs, iPhones, Huawei's, everything. Let's shout, "This is my Bible. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter, a doer, not just a hearer. Today, I will learn from God's word, and my life will never be the same, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Amen. And so, man, yesterday we had our baptism, and how glorious it was. It was just an awesome day. And man, I'm telling you, if you want to get baptized, make sure you sign up for the next one. Amen. But we've been talking about grace for the end times, because I truly believe we are in the end times. We read building up to today in Matthew chapter number 24. And Jesus gave us some signs that we can look out for. And he said, when you see these signs, then know that the end is near, or his return is near. And we also learned around these signs that, you know, he said that there's going to be famines, right? And there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And just this morning we woke up to the news that I think Iran had attacked Israel, which, you know, Israel is a significant part of the end times. And, crazy weather. It says the earth will be groaning in anticipation of the return of Jesus and the manifestation of us, the sons of God. And so we see all these things, to which Jesus said, when you start seeing these things, do not be discouraged. In fact, he said we should look up, get excited, because he said your redemption draws near. Amen. Amen. And so we get excited about the Lord's return, because we know that we are going to be reunited with him, and we'll be in the presence of the Father for the rest of our days. If you also read in Hebrews chapter number 1, verse 1, the writer says, you know, how God in sundry times, and we say that phrase sundry times means time capsules or different dispensations. He says of how God in sundry times spoke to our forefathers by the prophet, and he says he has in these last days spoken through his son, who he has made heir of all things. And so we see that in looking at that sundry times, you know, phrase, we see that there are seven dispensations or time capsules. You know, if you didn't see any of this, or you didn't listen to any of these teachings, you were not here, please be sure to visit our website, and you'll be able to catch up. But where we were, what we learned, is that these seven dispensations started in the garden with what is known as the dispensation of innocence, right? And then it became the dispensation of conscience, and we're not going to, you know, talk about that. The dispensation of human government, right, with the Tower of Babel, and how men tried to kick God out of their lives, and we know how that turned out. The dispensation of the promise, right? The dispensation of the promise with Abraham. Pastor H was just preaching about that. And into the dispensation of the law. And now you and I live in what is called the dispensation of grace. Amen. We live in a time of grace. And right here at the bottom, we're going to go into the millennial reign of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus will rule for 1,000 years. Amen. And he will be the He will take political power and just kind of fix everything that needs to be fixed. You can go check out the previous teachings to catch up on all of this. And so we learned last week that at the end of this dispensation of grace, we're all going to be snatched away, right? We're all going to be I call it the snatching away. Snatched away. Some call it the rapture. That's what they call it. They like to call it the rapture, but we're all going to be snatched away. You can also check out the teachings around that. But after we get snatched away, what happens? That's what we want to look at today. What happens after we get snatched away? And so let's go to Romans chapter number 14. It's all going to make sense. You're going to have, right now what we're doing is just kind of giving you pieces to the puzzle, right? And as you put the puzzle together, it's all going to make sense. Some scriptures are going to make sense to you. Things are just going to, you know, be highlighted to you and come alive in your heart. We truly believe that. And so it says in Romans 14, verse number 10, I'm reading in the New King James, it says, "But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before judgment, the judgment of seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess.' So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this and not put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." And so, you know, the Apostle Paul is writing primarily, if you look at Romans chapter number 1, verse 1, he tells us who his audience is, and he says he's writing to the saints at Rome. And so this message is being written to the saints, and he's saying to the saints, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so, before that frightens you, the judgment seat, all the saints, he's talking to the saints, right? Judgment seat, right? This judgment seat is the Greek word bema. And it's not talking about a BMW, right? This judgment seat, the Greek word for the judgment seat is bema. And that word bema, etymologically, is connected to the Olympics medal that they would give to people during those days. And so after a sporting event, they would all go and be presented with medals at what they called the judgment seat or the bema, okay? And so when he talks about judgment, this judgment seat that we will all appear, it is not to determine whether you've made it to heaven or not. Because going to heaven is not based on what you do or don't do, it's based on what Jesus has already done for you at the cross. Heaven is a gift that comes when you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But within the gift of heaven, there are rewards. And for the things that we do here on the earth. And so he's saying when we get to heaven, we're going to stand before God and we will all receive these rewards. Amen? And we're going to prove that by looking at least 3, 4, 5 other scriptures so that you can get the picture. And so this right here, the judgment seat, you're not going to find any unbelievers on this, only believers. And the unbelievers are going to appear after the millennial reign before God on what is known as the great white throne, where they're going to be judged and, you know, banished, thrown into the lake of fire forever. Amen? But you and I are going to be up here on the judgment seat getting some rewards. And if we go to Matthew chapter number 10, verse 42. Matthew chapter number 10, verse 42. The word judge is an interesting word, English word, and they would translate it from different Greek words. Sometimes the word judge means to condemn, and it says do not judge. And then sometimes to judge means to examine, and it says you are going to be the judges of angels. It's got different faces, and if you use just one definition, you can get thrown off. Amen? And so it says in Matthew 10:42, "And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." And so we see that there is a reward for the things that you and I do. Can I get an amen? And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We're going to read from verse number 10 to 15. This is the Apostle Paul writing again. This is primarily to the saints, right, at Corinth and ultimately to you and I. And he says this. He says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise, someone say wise. So we got to build wise. That's what he's getting ready to teach us now. He says, according to the grace which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how. Someone say how. So that's the key, right? That's the key. You can circle that word, highlight it, put a chewing gum on it, do what you got to do to make sure you remember that word. He says how he builds on it. You must all remember, take heed or pay attention to how you build on the foundation that the Apostle Paul laid. He says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now he's getting deep. And he says, for if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Now he's telling us the different materials that you and I can use metaphorically to build on the foundation that was laid, right? And he says you could build with gold, silver, and precious stone, or you could build with wood, hay, and straw, which is inferior to gold, silver, and precious stone, right? And he says, after we finish building, we're going to appear before the reward seat. And so all of us are going to bring all our little buildings, you know, for inspection. What you've been building. And we're going to show you how you can build and how you can do all of that. And he says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test. Someone say test. That's the key. He says the fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a what? A reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. So you'd have made it in heaven, but you won't receive any rewards for the work that you did, because you had used inferior materials. And so how do you choose between superior and inferior materials? It's one English word, motive. That's why the Apostle Paul says, take heed how you build, because there is no other foundation except Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so the question I want to ask you this morning, that's going to determine whether you're building using gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and straw, is why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you building? Is it for Jesus the Christ, or it's for you? Why do you want God to give you an opportunity to preach? Is it to serve Jesus, or it's for you? Now, I learned this the hard way, because for many, many years, I served me. I didn't know that motive mattered. And so I'd finish preaching, and then I'd walk around people and say, how was that? Did I do good? Did I? Hey, give me a pet. Here's my bag. Give me a pet on my back. And all of that, because I was trying to get approval, all of that was wood, hay, and straw. You know, in another place he says this, he says, if you give your body to be burned up, in other words, you offer the ultimate sacrifice and you don't do it motivated by love, he says you will not get any reward from it. It's going to be wood, hay, and straw. And so you need to always question your motive. You got to question, is this Jesus or it's me? Because if it's me, I'm going to suffer loss. Now let's read it in English. We're going to read it in English. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 10 to 15 in English, in the Amplified, right, in the Amplified Bible. He says, according to the remarkable grace of God, which he has given me to prepare me for my task. It's got to be by grace if you're going to do this task, you know, gold, silver, and precious stone. It says, like a skillful master builder, I laid a foundation. Now another one is building on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will be clearly shown for what it is, for the day of judgment will disclose it. Right now we can't tell. But on the day of judgment, God will bring it. You show everybody what motive was behind what we did. He says, because It is to be revealed with fire, and the fire will test. Watch this now. This is good. He says the fire will test the quality and the character and the worth of each person's work. If any person's work which he has built on this foundation, that is any outcome of his effort, remains and he survives the test, in other words, if it's gold, silver, and precious stone, he will receive a reward. But, someone say but. But if any person's work is burned up by the test, he will suffer the loss of his reward, but he himself will be saved, but only as one who has barely escaped through fire. But via back door. He says, you know, so brothers and sisters, what should we do with this information? This information helps us check our motives. He says you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. You always have to check the why. Why do I do what I do? Is it to serve Jesus or is it to serve me? You see, all these different things God has called us to do, he says, when he sees us in heaven, he says to some, he's going to say, thank you for giving me a coat when I was cold. You know, that old lady or that widow that you give a coat on the road because you see her cold. And Jesus turns that around and he says, you didn't give it to her, you gave it to me. Only if you did it with the right motive. But if you took a picture and put it on Instagram and you get the likes, you turn that sucker into wood, hay, and straw. Can I get an amen? You know, when you feed orphans, that's all right. That's precious stone, gold, silver, and precious stone. You make it a great eternal investment that you're making. But once you start taking pictures and you put it for us to give you accolades, you've turned that sucker into wood, straw, and hay. And it's going to get burned up because God is looking at the motive. The motive is more important than the action. Can I get an amen? He says, no other foundation should be laid except that which is Jesus the Christ. Amen? And so what should we do with this information? Here's what we should do. We should realize, number one, that we are saved into active duty. You know, sometimes we preach, bless me, preach sermons that people forget that there is a world to reach. And they forget that, you know, the kingdom of God is not a cruise ship, it's a battleship. You know, in a cruise ship, you get on for people to pamper you, give you a pedicure, give you a massage, and take care of you. And sometimes people think that's the church. And that's why we have so many problems, because everybody's looking to be pampered. No, it's a battleship. You got on, all hands on deck. Do something to reach somebody else. Do something to bless somebody else. Do something to build his kingdom. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so that's what he's talking about. And he says this. He says everyone's work will be disclosed on that day. And so our motive, the Bible says in Colossians 3 verse 2, it says set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And so for our motive for serving God, and our motive for leadership in the kingdom of God is love and not ambition. Now, when you go into your career, you know, out there in the marketplace, you can say, man, I want to start as an analyst, and then I want to become middle manager, and then I want to become a director, and then I want to become a shareholder. You see how many eyes are used in there? About five already. But when you come into the kingdom of God, if you say, man, I want to be a pastor, and then I want to be an apostle, and then I want to be it doesn't work like that in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, it works different. I'm about to show you, and what we getting ready to do is to teach you how to turn your effort into gold, silver, and precious stone, so that you can start making some eternal investments. Can I get an amen? And so let's go to Matthew chapter number 20. See, in the kingdom of God, we're not driven, godly leadership is not driven by ambition, but it's driven by a heart to serve. Amen. It says in Matthew 20, verse 20 in the Message Bible, I want to read it in the Message Bible. It says, it was about that time that the mother of Zebedee came with her sons and knelt before Jesus, asking him for something. I may be reading in the New King James. I think I'm in the New King James. Asking him for with a request, right? Yes. He said, and Jesus said, verse 21, "What do you want?" And she said, "Give me your word that these two sons of mine will be awarded high places in your kingdom, high places of honor in your kingdom, one at your right hand and one at your left hand." And so she's asking for position. Whenever you are hungry for just a position, a title, you turn them suckers into wood, straw, and hay. And so she's saying, "Make me something," right? And it's amazing. And Jesus responded, "You have no idea what you're asking." And he said, "To James and John, are you capable of drinking from the cup that I'm about to drink?" And they said, "Sure, why not?" See, because for position, people can do anything. They say, "Come on, man, as long as you make me governor, I can drink the same cup," right? And Jesus said, "Come to think of it, you are going to drink my cup. But as of awarding places of honor, that's not my business. My Father is taking care of that." And when the other ten others heard about this, they lost their tempers, thoroughly disgusted with the two brothers, because they were thinking, man, these two brothers are going to take our position. So they were disgusted. So Jesus got them together to settle things down, and he said, watch this now, it's about to get gooder. He says, "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around." He says, godless rulers throw their weight around because of position. And how quickly a little power goes to their head. You see that? He says, how quickly a little what? A little power goes to their head. It's not going to be that way with you. See, because Jesus wants them to build with what? Gold, silver, and precious stone. And so if you want to build with gold, silver, and precious stone, you can't allow the power to corrupt you. Or the anointing of God, or the influence that God will give on you. In fact, the one point the Apostle Paul said, we could have demanded of you, to write into the church at Colossae, he said, we could have demanded from you, but we choose to encourage you to do this thing. Because they didn't let the power, get to their head. He says, how quickly a little power goes to their head. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great. Anybody wants to be great? Anybody wants to be great? Oh, just a few of you, 4 or 5. Okay, let me try that one more time. Anybody wants to be great? I want to be great, right? Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Say what? Let me read that again. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. If you read other versions of the Bible, it says, the greatest among you is the one who serves. And so when you come into the kingdom of God, the way to become great, see, the kingdom of God operates in reverse. The way to become great in the kingdom of God is to serve others and not to serve you. Can I get an amen? It's to serve others. And this is so important because greatness is connected to servanthood. Pastor H, he helps us run the ministry and he builds teams and so on and so forth. And I was telling him many years ago, I told him, I said, if you're going to build great teams that are going to change the world and be effective, look for people who know how to serve. I told my wife, I said, the day that you don't feel like you're still passionate about serving the vision of your organization, quit that job, you're going to be wasting your time. In fact, I'll be as bold as to say this. If you've ever heard your boss say this, "We're just here to make money. Leave that job. Find another one that says we are here to serve our customers." Because that one is going to close before you know it. Can I get an amen? Amen? The only ones that become great are the ones that choose to serve people. Amen. If you ever meet someone, "Man, we're just here to make money," quit that job. We just go find somebody else that says, "I'm here to serve people." And that one will become great. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? And so Jesus is showing us how to be, if you want to build dream teams in your business, wherever, man, you got to choose the people who know how to serve. If you want to build dream teams in your leadership, in your business, look for people who know how to serve the vision of the organization and the vision of your company, and you will change the world. Amen? He says this. He says, whoever wants to be great amongst you must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must become a slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve and not to be served. Amen. And then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage. And so why does God want us to serve so much? Why did he give us this thing? See, God has a method to the madness. The reason why God wants us to serve is because serving empties us of ourselves. Why should we be emptied of ourselves? Because the biggest hindrance to being used of God mightily is self. You know, God was getting ready to use Moses to liberate the children of Israel, but Moses had too much Moses in himself that he went ahead of God and started killing people, and God had to take him into the desert for 40 years to get rid of Moses. And when Moses left, the Lord could now use Moses. That's good. Oh, by the way, this is not a campaign for you to serve at church. We have too many people serving already. In fact, we have people, true story, we have people that call the church office to almost cuss at us for not scheduling them. They say, man, I've been waiting. And so if I was to preach the sermon based on current events, I'd say don't serve. Can I get an amen? But this is vital information you need for making eternal investments. Amen. And so God calls you to serve other people so that you can empty Tephara. And once you empty Tephara, you'll fill that space with the Holy Ghost and with the anointing, and you'll be able to do the things that God has called you to do. But if you've got too much you in you, God can't use you. In fact, Jesus went on to show them. He did a practical demonstration of how this kingdom leadership works. He called them all and he washed their feet. That's the leadership of the kingdom of God. It works in reverse. The greatest among you is the least. It's the one who likes to serve. And this is why I can brag on God. This is why I will never. See, what I'm doing now is I'm sharing my trade secrets. I will never, ever live a life without opportunities. Because I've learned how to serve. Amen. I will never, ever live a life without opportunity. In fact, some of my friends get mad at me, pastor friends, they get mad at me because of all these opportunities that come my way. And some of them are right, you know, because they believe I don't deserve any of them, and they're right. This one guy, every time he sees me on TV, he calls me to ask for the director of the channel. Because in his mind, they picked the wrong one. They wanted his phone number. They got the wrong phone number. True story. The other guy, whenever he sees me on a poster with or Caris or preaching somewhere, he calls me and he says, man, who's the director there? I need you to give me their number. Because in his mind, he thinks, no, he can't be calling this guy. You know why? Because he's looking to Tephara and he doesn't see anything in Tephara because I emptied Tephara a long time ago. And because of that, God can use me. Amen. You know, some of you, you're holding on to you too much, and that's why God can't use you. I've heard people say, man, you know, does the Lord know that I can talk? I'm an oratory. And the Lord is saying, wait, until you stop knowing how to talk, then I can use you. In fact, the people he used to talk, all of them said, I can't talk. Yeah. Remember, he went to Moses, he said, I want to go talk to Pharaoh. He says, I can't talk. He says, good, now you're in a good place. 40 years ago, you talked too much. And so, serving is important because serving empties you of you so that God can use you. Why? Why? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31. This is going to help you. This is going to help you. And this is the fun that you sometimes have as the church is small. When the church was small, you know, Pastor C and I had the opportunity to serve everywhere. Man, I was serving everywhere and I was having fun. I'd come here, set up at 5:30, and at about 6, go back home, wash, and then go drive, pick up some members who didn't have a car, come back, and then, you know, switch everything on, do the sound, do the prayer, do the offering, and serve everywhere. And I'd just enjoy that because I love serving, right? And I'd enjoy that. When other people started coming in, I had to start giving other people responsibilities. They were painful. It's painful because I'm trying to also make some eternal investments, and I had to have a different mindset that says, okay, empowering others is also making an eternal investment. Somebody had to preach that to me. I remember when they fired me from the setup. I used to come every Saturday for 7 years straight to set up the speakers myself because I enjoyed serving, you know, and I'd come and set up and I was enjoying it. And one day, you know, Chuck's got the courage to talk to me and to fire me, and he said, "Hey, PT, we just want to, you know, ask you not to come anymore." I said, "Why?" He says, "Because we've got people who can do these things." I still came. He fired me, but I still came, and I would come and just hang out and talk to the guys. And he then said, "PT, you're slowing us down, you know, because I'd be here talking about football and just talking." You know, and he said, and then they ultimately fired me, so I don't come anymore. But man, I nothing. See, because if serving is beneath you, God's anointing is beyond you. Wow. Wow. Amen. If you can't wash feet, forget it. Because God wants you to become a nobody. We're not saying in your identity in Christ. We're talking in Him using you and His power flowing through you. Because sometimes if you've got too much you, this power will go straight to your head and it will drive you crazy. Yeah. Can I get an amen? Amen? Where did I tell you to go? 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. Let's read 26 to 31. We'll read one more and then we'll be out of here. Let's read it in the message, if you don't mind. He says, take a good look. Take a good look. Verse 26 in the message, if you will. Message Bible. He says, take a good look, right? Let's go back to verse 26. Verse 26. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when God called you into this life. And so these people had to empty themselves for God to call them. Right? He says, by the time God calls you, I don't see many of the brightest and the best. It does not mean that they were dummies in their thinking. Of course, we know Luke was a doctor. We know that. Peter was a fisherman. So these were some clever people. But they had to empty themselves. And at the point of their calling, they had to be not the brightest and the best. And he says, not many of you were influential. In other words, you did not hold on to the influence that you thought you had to try to bring it to God. God didn't need that. Not many of you were from high society families. Now watch this. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately, someone say deliberately. Yeah. So this is a deliberation. This is God, it's intentional. It's not by accident. Yeah. You see, when he says the greatest among you is the one who serves, it's not a metaphor. That's the statement. People are trying to find the hidden revelation of that. No, there's no. That's the statement. Can I get an amen? He says, God deliberately chose, He's the one choosing, right? He chose men and women that the culture overlooks. He says, yeah, that's the one I want. Culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebody. It's hollow because God doesn't need it. The pretensions of somebody's. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate, and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. That's why we have a saying, if you are going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. This is why I never miss praise and worship. Because I get to blow a trumpet for God. Amen. Amen. And so Pastor C and I, I'm going to close with this. You know, we get the opportunity to interact with a lot of celebrities and people of influence out there in the world. And when some of them, you know, receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, They think when they come to the kingdom, they think that what they need is a platform. That's what they think. But we as spiritual leaders know, because of the responsibility God has given us, know that what they need is discipleship. We know that. Because the Bible tells us, do not give influence or put a novice in a position of leadership. Pride is going to get to their head and they will fall just like Satan fell. That's what the Bible says, right? And so we know what they need is discipleship. They think what they need is a platform. And whenever you give them a platform, you destroy them. You know, this one rapper got born again, I think, 4 years ago. Pastor H and Marshall were excited. They came to the office. They were excited. They said, "Ooh, this guy's born again." I said, "Praise the Lord." And then they said, "Now he's going all over America and churches preaching." I said, "Wrong move." He said, "But you can't say that, Pastor." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "He is now using his fame for Jesus." I said, "Jesus don't need your fame. Jesus doesn't need to reach people through your fame. He reaches through people through the Holy Spirit and his anointing." I told them, I said, "Watch them destroy this guy." They didn't believe me. Last week, someone say last week. They came to the office. And they say, "PT, you were right." Man, how I enjoyed that line. "You were right again." And I say this to say, this is why God has called us to serve others. That's the attitude of leadership in the kingdom of God. It is to serve others. Whenever, you know, serving is beneath you, his power is going to be beyond you. And so do not try to invent your own formula. It's always going to be dangerous. Amen? Let's go to Acts chapter number 8. I'm going to end with this. Acts chapter number 8. What version was this? New King James, I think it was. Acts chapter number 8. No, it was Message, right? I think I read it in the Message. Acts chapter number 8, verse 18. So this one celebrity guy, Simon, he come from Celebrity Apprentice, and he saw, you know, the boys doing their thing, laying hands on people in church, and they're doing their thing. They're cooking with olive oil, and he wanted to be a part of it. But the question is, what was the motive? Was it him or Jesus Christ? What was the motive? Was it to reach people and to minister to people, or for him to look like somebody? If you want to look like somebody, this is the wrong place. It's the wrong playing field. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so, watch this now. Simon saw that the apostles when Simon saw that the apostles, by merely laying hands on, conferred the Spirit, he pulled out his money or his influence or his Instagram followers. Excited, and said, "Sell me your secret. Show me how you did that. How much money do you want? Name your price." And so Simon didn't want to serve his way into being used of God. He wanted to short circuit the system. Always a dangerous thing to do. Not only are you building with wood, hay, and straw, you're also destroying your own life. See, I've been in the marketplace. I've been in the church. I know people in the marketplace do all kinds of stuff you can get away with. And I tell people, play games in the marketplace. Don't do it in the kingdom of God. Amen. Play games in the political party. Don't do it in the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? And so they didn't want to serve. They didn't want to serve. Now watch what happened. Next verse. And Peter said, what did Peter say? These are strong words, right? These are strong words. The reason why Peter says this, and I, you know, these are strong words. I'm glad I'm not the one saying it. It's Peter saying it, right? These are strong words. These are strong words because every time you're tempted to use something that you have, influence or something, to get your way around the kingdom of God, you always short circuit the system, but also you start to operate on the wrong side of spiritual laws. Don't get involved with that. He says you serve your way into being used of God. Amen. You don't manipulate people. You don't try to do any of that extra stuff. Even when you are in ministry and you're a pastor, you don't manipulate people into giving. You don't play games. You don't say the ground is ready now. 2024, everybody must give 2024 round. Don't get into any of that. Because God, if God is really your source and is the provider, why are you playing these games? God has called us to serve. You know, we just finished doing the Lovers Boot Camp, right? And we put down money we gave to the couples, invested into the couples, fed them. And it was amazing. I think the budget was a little over 70, 80,000. Someone came to me, said the information we got from these couples, Lovers Boot Camp, was so good. Please, can you make us pay for us to attend? I said, man, I'm not in this game for money. If I wanted to make money, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. That's what I said to them. I said, we are here to serve the people. We are here to, and 70% of the couples that were in there don't come to Faith Hill Church. And so we don't get anything from hosting them except to serve them. And so I'm saying this to you, brothers and sisters. This is the attitude that we need to have if we're going to start making eternal investments. It's not about you. I know next week if you come back, we're going to be preaching about God blessed you, and He really has, but it's not about you. If you can't wash other people's feet, you can't, you know, people came to me when we were starting and we were growing, we were trying to find our feet, you know, we're figuring out who we are. Who are we? People came to me and said, Pastor, I've set up protocol. I said, what's that? He said, there's going to be five guys serving you, carrying your Bible from the car. I said, I can carry my own Bible. I said, they said, but we need security. I said, for who? Say, for you. I said, ah, do you know how much I bench press? Security for me. Come on, man. I can protect you. He said, we want security. I said, but we can have security for the children. Yeah. And so we ended up starting a security for the children. And so people were trying to serve me. You don't need to serve me. I need to make internal investment for me. I've learned right. Jesus said, the greatest among you is the one who serves. And I love to serve so I can be great too. Can I get an amen? Amen? Now watch what happened. He said, Peter said, what did Peter say? To hell with your money and you along with it. That's strong, right? Because he's operating on the wrong side of spiritual laws. You know, when you take your money, buy food, and you go feed the hungry, but you take their pictures and disgrace them and mess with their integrity and put it online. And something's wrong with your money. Man, you just fed them for lunch. Them little ones are now 12 years old. Who you think fed them? Who you think fed them for the other 11 years? You be thinking you are the savior because you brought them one lunch. You want to take their picture and put it all over the one lunch and disgrace them. And now it's getting to your head. I tell some of my American friends, I tell them once they pull out their cameras, I say, take that thing away. I say, if you're going to feed them, but take that thing away. I say, no, but we got to take this so we can raise money. It's about you now. Can I preach this? He says, why? That's unthinkable, trying to buy God's gift. You're trying to use what you have to buy the anointing. He says you will never be part of what God is doing. But see, you can be a part of what ANC is doing or EFF or DA by striking bargains and manipulating the system, weaving. But God ain't playing that game. He said, I went to see my pastor many years ago, 2002, Pastor Douglas. He lived in a penthouse in Harare, and so he was preaching all over the world, and I went to see him. I said, Pastor. He said, question. We all the young people were asking him questions. I said, Pastor, what would make me effective in ministry and last long and change people's lives? And this is what he said to me, and that never left me. He says, keep a pure heart. Amen. The anointing will flow through your heart. Says, keep a pure heart and you change people's lives. Amen. Amen? Now watch this. He says, you'll never be part of what God is doing by striking bargains and offering bribes. Change your ways and now. Don't change your ways next week. Now I know you know somebody who should have come to hear this sermon, but I think the Lord brought you here. And he's saying to all of us, change your ways and do it namhlanje today. Don't leave thinking that. And change your ways now and ask the master to forgive you for trying to use God to make money. You don't get into ministry or into the kingdom of God for what you can get out of it. You always get in for what you can give into it. This is why from the very first day, Pastor C and I have been one of the biggest partners in this ministry. Yes. And not just this ministry, many other ministries we give into, not just the organization, but even people individually. Because yep. God has called you to give and not to take. Amen. Don't be a taker. Aren't your neighbor say, don't be a taker. Don't be a taker. Don't be a taker. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of serving and being a blessing. You know, I have a principle. I like to play golf. I will never let someone pay for two golf games in a row for me. Because I'm a blessed man. When you pay for me for a game, you just challenged me. It's a challenge. That's what I look at it as. And guess what? I'm going to pay for the next game. Amen? I'm not a taker, I'm a giver. Now watch this, and he says, ask the master to forgive you. I can see this is an old habit with you. In other words, you lent it at the political party, but you didn't leave it there. You did not leave. You're still a somebody. You did not come as a nobody. Can I get an amen? You lent it at work that, you know, you get around backstabbing people, lying on people, tripping up on people, and you think God is going to anoint that and bless you and, you know, raise you and promote you. He's not into that business. God, if you have a heart to serve, God is the one that will promote you. Can I get an amen? He says, don't do that. He says, you're rich with money lust. And so we know that, you know, Peter prayed for the guy. He prayed for the guy. Next verse we can... You know, read, he prayed for the guy, and I like Simon because he was a humble guy. And Simon said, pray for me, pray to the master that nothing like that will ever happen to me. And so the Lord forgave him, and he joined the serving team. Amen. why don't you stand on your feet? Man, listen. So if a celebrity comes here, you know, get beside yourself. Just tell them we have an ushering team that they can join, and we will get rid of their celebrity before they... No, that's for real. I have a very close friend who, very close, dear to my heart, and, you know, you'd come around and, you know, he's trying to say, if I come, what position will I have? I say, well, man, we got the ushering team. We'll join you there. And you can serve there and then prove yourself, and the Lord will promote you. You know, and he thought I was being mean, but no, I was protecting his heart. Because if I put him on stage, the sniper, you see, when you put someone on a platform, they're an easy target. Sniper will shoot his head off. You know, to a great degree, I thank my mom for instilling a serving culture in me, because... You know, my mom was running an army barrack at the house. It wasn't she didn't play games. She didn't play no games with, she didn't raise a boss baby. This thing of you eat your food, you don't know where the sink is. You think the plate is going to grow legs. And I shouldn't play games with y'all. Like, and oh, auntie is going to, auntie who? Who's paying for it? She didn't wash it. She didn't play no games. You go and wash your own dishes and your siblings too. I was on a roster from when I was child labor from when I was 4 years old. Put me on a roster. I was, you know, washing dishes and when I turned 11, when I turned eight, she went to the priest, right? Got confirmation. She went to the priest and signed me up to be an altar boy. Without my consultation. And she told the priest, this one you can have. And I was a candle boy in the altar team. And when I turned 16, she went to the choir at the church and signed me up. I couldn't sing. She signed me up at the church. She said, this one is going to be here singing. So they gave me a drum, and I ended up beating up on the drum. And it was a traditional church. But she didn't play games with me and my siblings, and she cured us of all entitlement. And so when I got my first job, it wasn't the job of my dreams, but I knew I'm here to serve. Yeah. And so every time I would meet the complainers in the canteen and they're complaining about the business, I was like, man, I don't know what y'all are here for. I'm here to serve because I want to be great. And Jesus said, the greatest among you is the one who serves. If you stop wanting to serve, even in your business, the one that you own, you yourself. If you lose the passion to serve your customers, just let somebody else run it and then they'll pay you dividends at the end of the year. If you lose the passion to serve in the company you're working for, start sending CVs. Find a place where you can serve with passion. And then that's the only place you're going to find greatness. Can I get an amen? And so I'm encouraging you with this. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, man, purify your heart and serve Jesus Christ. He says, whatever you find your hands to do, do it as unto your pastor. No, as unto the Lord. Knowing this, that of the Lord, you will receive his reward. If you get disappointed because your boss didn't say well done, man, you may be living your life the wrong way. If you get disappointed because someone didn't give you a pat on the back, you may be working for the wrong boss. If you knew who your boss was, you wouldn't get disappointed if you don't get man's approval. Especially the business owners, you could lose sight of why God has put you there. He didn't put you there to make money and get financial freedom. You can get financial freedom in a week if you wanted to. Money is not the goal. He put you there to serve people and to change people's lives and to make it easy for people. And don't ever lose that passion if you want your business to be great. I meet with a lot of young people and they got business plans and I ask them, what's the goal? They say, man, I want to make money. I say, throw that sucker in the bin. They say, what you mean, pastor? I say, bring one way you'll say, I want to serve the people with this one. I want to serve my city. I want to serve my country. I want to serve my continent. And I tell them straight up, you may not make money in the first 10 years, but if you are here to serve this continent and this city and these people, you will grow eventually and God will make you great. Can I get an amen? And so I'm trying to help you. Not just make investments in this life, but also in the life to come. Amen?
We hope this message has been a blessing to you. Thank you for listening. To find out more about how you can become a partner, visit faithhill.tv today.